Is that a bit better? Some of you are thinking it was better the way it was. Hopefully you can hear me. Great to kick off a series on prayer with a story about answered prayer, isn't it? We're so thankful that we serve a God who does listen to our prayers, who's attentive to our prayers. And as Sarah has said, we're going to be taking a little while over the next couple of months in the life of our church to attend to prayer, attend to the command that we are given to pray. And specifically, we are ever so thankful that we're not just given a command to pray. We are given in our scriptures a little bit of a steer as to how we might pray, how we might pray effectively, what we might pray as well, what is in a sense sanctioned by Jesus in terms of what we are to pray for, what we are to pray about. And of course, why would we take time to go through prayer for 8 consecutive weeks? Well, I think quite simply, it is one of the most fundamental things that we do, first and foremost as people, but as people who commit to following Jesus, then prayer becomes a part of our DNA. Prayer becomes an essential practice and outworking of what it means to actually be a Christian. This is the thing as well with prayer. If you are thinking about the most impactful and transformative things that you can do, then prayer is the place to start and to finish, and to draw the start and the finish together. But I want to say at the start as well that nobody should expect to be able just to pray without a little bit of help, without a little bit of a steer. We all know that we are meant to pray as Christians. But we're also given permission to talk honestly about it. I think that I probably am not by myself here when I say that at times I find prayer difficult. Sometimes prayer is hard work. Sometimes, well, we can find a million and one other things to do than pray. But we all need a little help in our prayer lives. And I'm heartened by the fact that if you are standing in the same place as I am in terms of needing help and encouragement with prayer, then you're not the first disciples to be in that same position. When we look into our scriptures, we see that Jesus' first followers, the original 12, well, they were in the same boat as you and I. If you find yourself in the place where you need a little bit of help with your prayer, then join Peter and Andrew and James and John and the rest of the crew, because they weren't prayer experts as well. But it's interesting, when we do look at Scripture, it is obvious that those first disciples paid close attention to Jesus' prayer life. We learn a little bit about the life of prayer by observing Jesus at prayer. And we're really thankful, actually, that our Gospels, well, they record some of his habits in prayer. We actually have some of the prayers collected for us and given to us in order to help us in our prayer lives as well. But the disciples, they observe Jesus at close quarters, and they come to a very, very good conclusion. And the conclusion was this: they needed him to teach them to pray. We read in Luke's Gospel in the first verse of chapter 11, the disciples, they come to Jesus and they say to him, "Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray." You know, when you read through the Gospels, this is the only time that the disciples ask Jesus to teach them about anything. Now, they get teaching on a lot of things in life, a lot of essential things in life. But prayer is the only thing recorded in the Gospels that the disciples actually ask teaching on. And I think that they were quite right to come to that conclusion. Because when they observed Jesus at close quarters, when they observed him at his work, when they watched the life that he lived, they come to the conclusion that one of the key differences in his life was his life of prayer. and wanted to emulate and replicate the Master. Lord, teach us to pray. I'm really heartened by the fact that that little statement there, that little verse, is not just a request, but it is a prayer in and of itself. If you're struggling in prayer or wanting to grow in your effectiveness in prayer, then take that little verse away with you and use it as your own prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. You probably won't pray anything more effective or transformative than that particular request. Lord, teach us to pray. We look into our Gospels, and of course, and quite thankfully for you and I, Jesus responds to the request, and he says to the disciples, in effect, guys, you're right to ask for help in prayer. So let me show you how you are to pray and what you are to pray for. And we know that what Jesus goes on to teach the disciples is what we now refer to as the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. It's one of those things that you can go to most places in the UK, and most people in the room will be able to join you as you say, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. It has a certain rhythm and rhyme to it. It's beautifully crafted and designed by Jesus to be a little bit of a thing that is easy to remember. But the prayer itself is full of depth and profundity. And I want to say this, we have no shortage of resources to help one another pray and stay faithful in prayer. But that Lord's Prayer is the only real resource you need. If you take the time and the effort and the energy to pay close attention to the Lord's Prayer, you will learn how to pray. I'm so confident in this prayer. We never cease needing help in prayer. I have been a follower of Jesus now for a little over 20 years, and at least 3 or 4 times a year, I go to him saying, Lord, can you help me with my prayer life? I need a little bit of help, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of structure. And time after time, the Lord's Prayer is like the foundation place for me to revisit, to go back to that place and say, Lord, let's start all over again. I think that the Lord's Prayer is the best starting point for any one of us, whether you're perhaps starting out in a life of faith. You haven't really prayed too much in your life and you don't really know where to start. Start with this prayer. Or perhaps you have been following Jesus through the decades and you have been praying to him and with him, but you know that you perhaps feel the need to inject a little bit of vibrancy back into your prayer life, then I invite you to take a little bit of time with Jesus, listening to him teach you how to pray again. We're going to be taking some time to look through the Lord's Prayer over the next couple of months, and we're going to be connecting with the 24/7 prayer movement, and they have created a little resource online called the Prayer Course, where you can access a load of resources to help you with your prayer life. But today I want to show you the introductory video to the prayer course. The guy who's going to be speaking to us is a chap called Pete Gregg, and somebody who has been on an amazing journey of prayer himself over the last 20 odd years. So without further ado, I'm going to ask the guys to hit the video. This lasts for about 20 minutes, so just get comfortable, and then I'll quickly wrap things up when we get to the end of the film. Thanks, guys.
Hello, and welcome to the first session of the prayer course. My name is Poppy Williams. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but these days I live and work on the Spanish island of Ibiza. I'm here today with my friend Pete Gregg. Pete's a pastor in England who kickstarted a worldwide prayer movement all the way back in 1999, and it's still going strong today. He's written a whole bunch of books about prayer, including this one, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People, which really links into what we're going to be talking about during this course. All in all, he couldn't be better qualified to teach us about prayer. So, Pete, Here we are, the first session of the prayer course. Can you maybe give us an idea of where we're going to be headed over these next 8 sessions?
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? I feel like we're at the start of a real adventure, because there's nothing more exciting than really connecting and communicating with the living God. Yeah. With my wife, Sammy. If you heard that we don't spend time together and I don't listen to her and we don't talk to each other, you might question the quality of our marriage, even yes. though we have a marriage certificate. And I think in the same way, in your relationship with God, it's not enough just to have like baptismal certificates or all the kind of right stuff. It really is about prayer. It's about your relationship with him through communication. So this is the heart of everything.
So then basically the goal of this course is to help people grow in that relationship with God.
Yeah, exactly. By the end of 8 weeks, you'll be better at hearing God's voice. You'll be experiencing more of his presence. I hope you'll have processed some of your disappointments and your struggles in prayer. And I think that you'll even be experiencing more miracles, because you'll be learning how to unlock the power of prayer.
I love that, like the idea of unlocking the power of prayer. Like I'm in for that.
Good, I'm glad, because if I was sitting here on my own, it'd be a bit weird.
Yes, it would. So your book is called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. So is this course going to be the same? Like, is this for everybody?
Yeah, it really is. And I can't guarantee everybody watching this is going to be normal, but we are going to try and keep it simple. And we're going to cover a lot of ground. I'm aware that some people watching this is going to be pretty new to Christianity, and so it is going to be accessible. And others probably been Christians for years and years and years, but actually there's always more to learn. And the truth is that everybody prays. We all do, even people yes. who don't call themselves Christians. I remember the first time I held our son, I prayed, and I think most people would relate to that, even non-churchgoers. The first time I saw the Northern Lights, I was just lost in wonder. Prayer was a natural response. And probably most vulnerably, when Sammy, my wife, was wheeled off down the hospital corridor to have surgery that we didn't know if she'd survive, you better believe I prayed. And when she came back alive and well, I thanked God. And it wasn't me trying to do this religious thing. It was just to be humans, to pray. The word prayer in the Latin, the original, is precarious. And I think that's exactly right. We pray because life is precarious.
Yeah.
And it's marvelous and it's wonderful. It's too big for our heads and our hearts to contain. Rabbi Abraham Heschel puts it beautifully. He says, prayer is our humble answer to the inconceivable surprise of living. I love that.
Wow. I know you guys did this great little animation a few years ago that's exactly about this. It's called Why Pray? Maybe we should take a look at that.
Have you ever wondered why so many people pray? Well, Albert Einstein said that there's really only 2 ways to live, as if nothing's a miracle or as if everything's a miracle. Either life's a fluke and we're just a bunch of highly evolved animals on a big rock lost in space, or there's a creator behind creation, a God behind goodness. And if so, then connecting with him in prayer is pretty much the most mind-blowing thing you can do. Archaeologists keep digging stuff up that shows we've always prayed. People of many faiths pray daily. Even atheists admit to praying sometimes. Real prayer is a two-way conversation with the living God who loves and listens to the things we say. Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name and it'll be done." We have a chance to ask for peace, healing, help, or whatever we need. Life matters, you matter, your choices, thoughts, prayers, and actions echo in eternity. But in case you hadn't noticed, God is pretty much invisible and not always easy to hear. There are distractions, disappointments, and questions that we all share. That's why 24/7 prayer does stuff to help thousands of people in hundreds of places connect with God in new ways. People are learning to pray by just praying. And today, millions are discovering that God's real. Life's a miracle. And the most powerful thing you can ever do is to pray.
So on this course, we're going to be working through the Lord's Prayer. And it might make sense to take a look at that now together. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. And we read verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" The one thing that the disciples explicitly asked Jesus to help them with was prayer. "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't ever say, you know, "Teach us to preach," or "Teach us to plant churches," or "Teach us to share our faith." They said, "Teach us to pray," because they could see that this was the key to everything about their rabbi's ministry. And they say, "Teach us to pray." Now, these men went on to have incredible prayer lives. They prayed over handkerchiefs and people got healed. They prayed, people raised from the dead. They even prayed for their persecutors at the point of death. So they went on to have amazing prayer lives, but it has to begin at a moment in time where they just humbly kind of say, we actually need help in this area. And that's what we're doing really at the start of the prayer course. We're just saying, "Lord, teach us to pray," over these 8 sessions, because we all find it difficult. I love the story of Teresa of Avila, who was like this big saint, this holy nun. And she once admitted that sometimes she shakes her hourglass to make her hour of prayer go quicker, which I can really relate to.
Yes, I can relate to that as well.
Because, you know, prayer is difficult, isn't it? And the good news of this story, where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, is that when we ask him for help, he promises to help us.
Can you maybe give us an idea about how the next 8 sessions are going to break down?
When you say to people the word prayer, everyone has a different idea of what that actually means. And that's because really there's lots of different ways of praying. There isn't just one way. It's a bit like this toolbox here. There's a bunch of different tools, hammers and, you know, screwdrivers and all stuff. And the thing is, obviously everyone knows every tool is there to do a different job. And if you called a handyman around and said, "Can you fix something?" He said, "Well, I only know how to use a hammer, but I don't use a screwdriver." You'd think he wasn't a very good handyman.
Not a good handyman at all.
Yeah. And in the same way with prayer, why limit yourself? There's a whole range. The Lord's Prayer is a bit like a toolbox, and we're going to go through those different tools together on this course. So first of all, you've got "Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name." So that means next session we're going to be looking at adoration, the hallowing of God's name. And then there's "Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's intercession. Mm-hmm. And then it's "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, that's a number of things. Firstly, that's petition. Petition is asking God for our own needs. Intercession is asking God for other people's needs.
Okay.
But daily bread is also about listening to God, because his word is spiritual as well as physical. So we're going to think about listening and about unanswered prayer as well, because we all have disappointments and struggles and we need to be honest about those. We're going to look at contemplative prayer. And then there's "Deliver us from the evil one." Well, that's kind of to do with spiritual warfare. So we're going to look at all sorts of different tools, different types of prayer. And online on the Prayer Course website, we've got a tool shed where there's just lots of practical little articles on different types of prayer, like how to keep a journal, or how to go on a pilgrimage, or how to fast. And so as well as these videos and the discussions in groups, you can go there and get lots of tips on how to use all the different tools.
Wow, that sounds so amazing. Tell me though, like, what would you say to the person that's out there right now? They're watching, they've just gotten started with all of this, and in their minds they're thinking, "I just thought prayer was prayer. And you guys are using all these big words like adoration or intercession."
Right. Yeah, the best bit of advice I ever got about prayer was keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up.
I like that. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up.
Yeah, your prayer life really is at its best when it's at its simplest. I always tell the story about I was walking down the street near where I used to live one day, and God spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was just this really strong impression, sort of out of nowhere, that I've learned to recognize can often be the voice of God. And the impression was random. It was, look at that tree. And so I froze and I stared at this tree in the street, and it looked like some idiot, really, and people walking past thinking I'm having some kind of episode. And I'm thinking, what, you know, is this like going to be my burning bush
like
moment?
You're waiting for something to happen.
Right, you know, the tree's going to fall over, I'm going to save someone or whatever. And eventually it's getting embarrassing. So I say, okay, God, what happens now? I'm looking at the tree. And I sensed that he said, I just thought it was a great tree. And so I'm there going, good job on the tree, Lord. And I guess he said, thanks very much. Here's the point. I know it's like the most underwhelming story of all time, but actually, your prayer life is at its best when you're saying stuff like, good job on the tree, or, you know, thank you for this lovely day, or whatever. Adam and Eve used to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening every day before, this is important, before there was any sin or sickness or suffering in the world. So we have to ask, what did they talk to him about?
Right.
Because mostly, I don't know about you, mostly what I speak to God about, if I'm not careful, is problems. It's, you know, healing, or, you know, confessing sin, asking God for help with problems. People I want to see saved. And actually, they must have just said to him things like, good job on the tree. And one day there will be no more sin or sickness or suffering in the world, but there'll be you and God. So what will you talk to him about?
Right.
So that's the thing. Our prayer lives really are at their best when we are simply walking and talking with God about the real stuff of life.
So your prayer life is at its best, at its simplest.
Exactly. And Jesus says that explicitly. If we read the Message version of Matthew chapter 6,
okay.
Listen to this. This is kind of teaching that, you know, is right at the heart of the prayer course. Jesus says, Matthew 6, verse 6, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God.
I love that.
Exactly.
Role play before God.
I think I might have done that at times. Just be there, he says, as simply and honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, says Jesus, you can pray very simply. And then he goes on to give the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus is explicit. We should keep it simple, but also keep it real. He says, don't role play before God. Be honest. Don't pretend. And actually, I find that the Bible is way more honest often than the church about the pain and the disappointments and unanswered prayer. And often the Bible's not happy clappy, but it's deeply honest. There's a parable that Jesus told. You probably remember it, about the Pharisee and the tax collector who go up to the temple to pray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And imagine Jesus telling it. There's this crowd, and there will have been Pharisees in the crowd, and then other people who probably thought they were bad at prayer, unlike, you know, the big holy Pharisees. So Jesus, like, in telling this story, there's a little twinkle in his eye as he says, you know, the Pharisee prayed all the right prayers. You know, I thank you that I am not like other men. And then you've got the tax collector, like, despised, and he's like hiding in the corner, like rocking backwards and forwards, just saying, you know, I'm a sinner. And then Jesus, like, I imagine him winking at one of the Pharisees in the crowd, and he goes, which of them went home heard by the Father? It was the tax collector. So Jesus is saying, be honest, be real, be yourself with God. So we've got to keep it simple, keep it real. But also Jesus just says, keep it up. Don't give up praying too soon. And again, he told another parable about a widow who lost a coin. And he says explicitly in that, you must keep praying and not give up. When our son Danny was really little, he got to that stage where he wanted to be able to write, but he couldn't.
Okay.
And so he would scribble away on bits of paper, and we would encourage him. So he would, you know, bring, he'd say, "Look what I've written," and you'd say, "Great job! It's like Shakespeare," you know. But then one time he did this, and then he said, "Dad, read it." And, you stare at anything, obviously it's nonsense, it doesn't make any sense. But what I found was I could look at his face, and as his dad, I could read his face. I knew the kind of day he had had, the weird little things that go on in his head, the way he's feeling. I could probably even see his dinner on his face. And so I guessed at what the scribbles meant. And as I read his scribbles, he was there nodding, saying, you know, "Good job, Dad. Good reading. Well done." And I said thank you, because it really was some of the best reading I'd ever done. And I do think prayer is a lot like that. We kind of obsess about getting the right words, the right techniques, but it doesn't impress God. Our Father in heaven reads our faces, our hearts. He knows the kind of day we've had, the weird little things that go on in our head. And he interprets our prayers. And that's exactly what it actually says in Romans chapter 8, one of the great passages about prayer in the Bible, starting at verse 26 of Romans 8. Listen to this and think of that image of Danny with his scribbles. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for." Do you ever feel like that?
Absolutely.
"We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." So imagine the next time you're trying to pray, you don't know if you're getting through, you don't know if you're quite articulating what's really going on. The Holy Spirit is interceding in groans for you at that moment. "And he who searches our hearts," so imagine me searching the heart of my son, your Father in heaven, "he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." So that's just a beautiful description of it's not about the scribbles, it's about the heart.
I love that. It's just so reassuring, right? That the Holy Spirit is doing that when we don't know what to say. He's interceding for us. So then, just to kind of recap what we've talked about, you said that we just need to ask Jesus to teach us to pray.
Yeah, Lord, teach us to pray.
And we learned that prayer is kind of like this toolbox here. There's a lot of different types, and we're going to be learning about a whole bunch of them.
Right.
And then your number one piece of advice was to keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up.
Exactly. Very good.
Well, why don't we pray?
Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, would you please teach us to pray. Thank you that we don't have to get it all right all the time, that we just need to present our hearts to the Father, just like Pete's son Danny with his drawings. Holy Spirit, there are so many times when we don't know what to say. Would you please help each one of us to grow closer to you and deeper in prayer over the coming weeks? Amen.
How did you find that little bit of input in prayer? Was that helpful? Yeah. You have to say that, really, don't you? You'll go home saying, "Oh, that was..." I much preferred Stefan preaching on a Sunday than watching some guy on a video. But I've been spending some time looking and watching through these videos, getting in a little bit of preparation for this particular season that we're going to be working through in the life of our church. And it's my hope and prayer that above and beyond everything that is said, that actually this will propel you into actually praying. Actually praying. Not spending too much time talking about prayer, but praying. Because there's no real shortcut to learning how to pray. The best way is simply to get on with it and pray. I find Pete's advice there on prayer to be really, really helpful. And if we could just switch to the next slide there, Rosie. He simply says on prayer, keep it simple. Your prayer life is at its best when it's at its simplest. To keep it real, don't role play before God, and to keep it up, don't be giving up too soon. And that's half the battle, I believe. So what? Well, over the next couple of months, we're going to be helping each other learn how to pray. There are a series of resources online. If we just click through there, you'll see the URL, prayercourse.org. So if you want to go online and just follow some of the stuff that we're going to be working through over the next few weeks, you can get all the information you need on the website. You can re-watch the videos. You can access the little tools and the resources that Pete references on the website itself. But if all of that seems too much to do, I'm simply just going to give you a challenge. And the challenge is this. Over the course of the prayer course, while we're working through it at church, is to just take a little bit of time each day to pray the Lord's Prayer. Maybe set an alarm on your watch or your phone, just to give you a little bit of a reminder to stop, even if it's just for 2 minutes each day, and to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I think that that's something that is really accessible and achievable for each and every single one of us. I have printed out a little resource here, a prayer tool about how to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's 3 pages long, and what it does in very simple terms is unpack what the prayer is about. It shows us that it's a little bit of a guide in terms of how to pray and what we are to pray for. So I have 40 copies of it here. If you're somebody who likes to have your own paper copy of something, or you don't have access to a printer, then grab one of those after the service. I'm just going to leave them here. Take it home and use it as a little bit of a help for you in your own prayer life. But we're going to be sending them out via a PDF on the weekly e-news as well. But if you want one before the e-news goes out on Thursday, then just send me an email. Feel free to get your phones out right now, by the way, and ping me an email, Stefan. Stefan is spelled S-T-E-F-A-N, at thepeopleschurch.org.uk, and just put a little request in an email. And if you can't even be bothered doing that, just on the title, just say Lord's Prayer Resource. And I'll just attach a copy and send it to you. We did this a few months ago when we were looking through the prayer of examine. I was chatting to any number of you, and I think that you found that helpful in terms of establishing prayer rhythms in your own lives. We're going to now move into a new season with a little bit of a new resource, the Lord's Prayer. So please, please, please make that commitment to follow through, to make sure that you stop each day, and to ask Jesus to be teaching not just yourself, but us as a community, teaching us how to pray. The Lord has things for us. And I can guarantee that he wants to open heaven upon us. But we need to be a people who pray. That's my heart and desire, both for my own life and for each and every single one of you, that you learn how to pray, that you experience the joy of praying, that you experience that connection, walking and talking with the Lord each and every single day. So as the band make their way back to the platform, and if you're able, would you stand with me as we pray together? And Lord, we want to give you thanks and praise that you modeled a life of prayer for us. Lord, that our scriptures tell us that you continue to pray for us even now. But when your first followers asked you to teach them to pray, Lord, you did. And so we simply echo their request and their prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.